Thursday, 53. The high Friday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 29 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Hey, good morning. Welcome in to Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Phone number, as always, for the show, 205-342-9904. If you'd like to jump in with us this morning, you want to download the app? We got a ton of app messages yesterday. I was just talking about changing quarterbacks for a couple series, not benching people. But if the guy goes in and sparks you, then yeah, maybe. So I appreciate all the app message. You can send us an app message again today about Notre Dame's athletic director. Oh my gosh, give me a break. If you want to email us, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine for Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com, put that zip code in, and find the dealer that is closest to you. Good morning, Chase. How are you? Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
I've lost my voice, but you would expect the athletic director at Notre Dame to complain.
I didn't think he would go after the ACC. You're not a full member of the ACC. And so I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
A little bit. I'm sorry I lost my voice. Maybe come back in a minute. Alabama's a little bit of a surprise. A 1.5-point favorite over Oklahoma in the playoff. Miami gets 3.5 against A&M, which is... Tulane gets 16.5 against Ole Miss. LSU deal. LSU, I think, gets 3.5. Nussmeier. Maybe I'd be going to play. Lane Kiffin did do one thing. He let four of his coaches go back over to Ole Miss to try to help him for the championship. So I thought that was good. In Birmingham, we don't ever mention it. The App State plays Georgia Southern in that particular game. sorry. Tell me, listeners, the best way to handle the championship game. Do you just put in writing that both teams go to the final 12 or final 16, when it'll be next year, if they're in the championship game, or do you do without it, not have a championship game? I don't know what's the best, but if our listeners have a feel for that, Barry, I'm sure he has a feel for it, and he could answer whatever he wants to say. But if you have a feel for that, just call in and tell us, and we'll talk about it. But that's the big thing for me, is the big stink about that. You shouldn't penalize them for getting in there and playing poorly. They automatically should go to the 12 or next year the 16.
I mean, people complaining.
Yeah, crowd, but it felt folded. I'm sorry.
Well, people complaining about James Madison and Tulane. That system was put in place before, so you can't complain about that. That was the system right. That was put in, and you blame the ACC for not getting a higher ranked team winning the ACC. That's what caused that problem. I do think one team should get in too. I'm not as crazy about. as far as the championship game, you know, I think you just got to look at the resume. I mean, BYU was 11, I believe. So even if they 11 is not in the playoff if Tulane and James Madison get in. So they weren't in the playoff anyway. So the fact that they got blown out, and you have to look at the body of work. And I think I said this yesterday, Alabama did not pass the eye test to get into the playoff, but their resume did pass. And so, you know, you just have to use common sense about it in the championship game. And what league is it? Obviously, when Indiana and Ohio State, I mean, the loser there did not move but one spot from 1 to 2, which I don't know there's a big difference between 1, 2, 3, and 4. So as Alabama prepares to go to Norman, Oklahoma, people talk about how cold it is in Oklahoma this time of year. We'll see what the weather ends up being. But talk about playing a team twice. You've done it with Georgia. You beat Georgia. Georgia beat you. You came to Oklahoma, came here. Alabama turned the football over 3 times. So we'll see if they can take care of the football. My concern is I thought last year Alabama's team played poor down the stretch, and I don't think they're playing well now. Can they turn it around between now and next Friday? Maybe they'll get some guys back, get them back on the practice field. But how much can you really improve here in the next 10 days?
Well, it's a mental thing. You got to want to play, be excited to play in the championship. It's certainly a mental thing. It's like, you know, like playing in the SEC basketball tournament when, you know, kids really go south somewhere. So I think that's a big part of it. You just keep, you know, you have to remember that Alabama's running back was not even in the game when they played, and it's the best one they had. So I think injuries were a factor in the game. There's no doubt about it. So everybody's complaining that Alabama got in the 12. There's a lot of people complaining they didn't get in. So how much you can improve is a mental part. How much your coach is working. If you have, I think the biggest thing is your injury problem. I think that's a big problem that you have.
I think you find out who's your second quarterback and you get him ready for this week in the next 10 days.
You already know that.
Or whoever that is, if they know it, get him ready. You may have to go to him and see what happens there. I did hear a lot of Golish's press conference yesterday. Auburn took a major, major step up as far as handling the media. He was very clear about his message. He was easy to listen to. The guy has a really good feel for what's going on. He talked about the current roster and the, you know, the trying to retain those guys and trying to kind of figure out who's going to make what. And it's going to be hard to do because there's guys there that have been very successful that they'd like to keep. So over, and he says, you know, really right now they don't know anything about our system, so we can't keep them because of our relationship and because of our system. After a year and we've coached them, then they would see the value in what we bring them. He talked about the bowl game and why they chose not to. What he said made complete sense. Auburn was 5-7. They weren't anticipating going into a bowl. He said if it happened a week earlier, then they could have probably put it together. But a lot of the football players have already gone home because of finals, and then they don't really have a staff there in place to coach it. Had they known a week ago, they could have kept a lot of the staff members there to coach it. So I get what he said there with the 5-7 team, not trying to bring those guys back and who's going to coach them. So it made complete sense. But the ones that had the winning records and knew they were going to a bowl, I thought the best app message we got yesterday was, if you opt out of a bowl, we're paying these guys now, and ESPN's paid a pile of money to have the right to put these games on, and that's why these guys are made. If you opt out of a bowl, I think you ought to be disqualified again next year. You're not eligible for a bowl. We got to stop this. These guys are making money now. Notre Dame, I understand their guys said, well, we had a bunch of guys that were going to go to the NFL draft that were going to opt out. Anyway, these guys got to have their contract. If I'm making this money and I'm making it monthly, then I got to play the entire season. To me, is the only way to do it. So hopefully they'll get that in place. Your thoughts about these bowls and these teams opting out?
Well, it's not good, but it's got so many scenarios about each one of them. You commented on Auburn's, and each team has a kind of problem that we don't always know about. And I think it's just as Nick Saban said, it's going to affect our bowls big time. And he was correct on that. So I don't really have an answer on the Alabama quarterback thing. We take a guy who's got us there and looking to get rid of him because the offensive line doesn't block.
It's not get rid of him. You just got to have another guy in case you need a spark. I mean, if your point guard's not playing good, if your lineman's not playing good, you sub them out. I mean, I don't know why we can't sub a quarterback. Why? What is it about the quarterback position? You sub running backs. You sub wide receivers. You sub defensive backs. You take pitchers out. You take guys that are struggling to play. What is it about a quarterback that you can't take them out? I'm not saying bench the guy. I'm just saying if the guy's not playing well, if you got guys over there that are really, really good, then give them a chance. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right, we'll take the first break here. I'm not saying throw the guy, but I mean, at some point, you got to play well. I mean, yeah, it's the line's not great. You ain't got a great running game.
Well, I think the quarterback and head coach has an answer to that.
But I mean, if a lineman's not playing well, do you want to just stay with him? Because he's earned a position. So let's just keep him in there.
Coach.
Huh? Do what?
Quarterback coaches just can't coach. They don't know what they're doing.
I didn't say they couldn't coach. I just said I don't understand. It's not just Alabama. It's across the country and in the NFL. Why are people so reluctant to change the quarterback? Why was Auburn so reluctant to try somebody else down there? I ended up getting you fired. So
I agree to that.
Why did Nick Saban make the change at halftime of the national championship game? He looked at it and said, Jalen Hurts is not moving this team. I got this guy over here named Tua. I'm going to try him. I'm going to put him in there and try him. And lo and behold, he came in there and started zipping that ball all around. So why was it okay for Nick Saban to do it, but nobody else? But if anybody else does it, it's not right. I don't understand. And he did it in the national championship game. Jalen Hurts got him to the national championship, didn't he?
Well, this wasn't like that.
What do you mean?
The quarterback wasn't like that situation. That situation, he was really, really bad. His quarterback's not that bad.
I just said he wasn't playing great. Sometimes if you go over there and stand a series or two, the competitive nature at you, let you watch the game a little bit, gather your thoughts, let them coach you a little bit over there. And these guys you got are supposed to be really, really good, so they may give you a spark. That's all I'm saying.
You're
not
as good as the people that surround you. You're as good as the people that surround.
Well, so it's not his fault at all, then. It's the people around him.
I didn't say it wasn't. I said you're as good as the people that surround you.
Yeah. Well, those people around them, they got them to the final 12. So here we go. 2-minute truck. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need in preparation for this move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. 2 men in a truck. Movers, who care?
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. There is hazardous driving in some areas of West Alabama this morning. Patchy, dense fog across the area, especially along rivers and waterways. Slow down, turn your headlights on low beams for safety. The National Weather Service in Birmingham expects the fog to burn off by mid-morning. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage all throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. This morning, we don't have any accidents to tell you about. We do have construction. Skyline Boulevard, both northbound and southbound at Clearview Hills Drive. Also, 2059 eastbound between Foster's and the Western Bike.
Big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6. Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu. Available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with the low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days, the high Thursday 53, the high Friday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 29 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it, to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Barry, I agree with you. And I also agree with Coach Sanderson, too. It's because when you got to look at the big picture of things, I think Ty's biggest issue, number one, he's trying to get the offense into the perfect play, and you're not going to be able to do that. That's why he runs the play clock down to one or two. Sometimes you just need to run the play that's called and quit trying to be so cute and smart and try not to outsmart yourself. Because the defense, maybe sometimes they shift into something that's going to work for your benefit, and you're changing it on because you're out of time. Number two, he is seeing ghosts. And for those who don't know what that term means, if you're a quarterback, a basketball player, whatever, especially in the quarterback position, and a running back can see them too, is when you're so used to stepping back in the pocket, you're getting hit on your third or fourth step where you're getting pressure, you automatically, your mind, think as soon as you snap that ball, okay, I'm going to have to move to a certain side or roll to a certain side because I know it's not going to hold up. And when you do that, the reason why you moved is no longer existent. It may have been three plays ago, but it's not then. He's seeing ghosts on just about every offensive snap he takes. And sometimes if he can step up into the pocket, be a successful play, but what does he do? He rolls because he's expecting pressure in the middle.
Yeah.
And you roll right into the blitzing defensive end who, at that point in time, you may have a pocket. It's those little things like that that he knew where he was going on that out route in fourth and two when he throws like 7 yards above the guy's head to end the game. He knew where he was going as soon as he snapped it, as soon as he broke the huddle. And you normally don't see a quarterback throw an out route to the boundary, which is the wide side of the field. That's a pick six waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, had it not been high, it might have been picked. But there's little things like that I see as to why he's not being benched or a couple of series. I personally, me, as an offensive coordinator, I would have, after a rough hit that he took, whether he released the ball on a third down, I would have put him in the medical tent And so the TV broadcast would think maybe something's wrong, and I would have a one-on-one discussion with him and his quarterback coach and his offensive coordinator, say, okay, why did you do what you did? What are you seeing? Because that's not what we're seeing, or that's not what you're taught to do. You're kind of panic throwing a little bit. And I would have let somebody take a series that way to the committee's eyes and other people's eyes. Hey, you might have a banged-up Ty Simpson. And you might get a little bit of, relief. Now, it didn't matter in the long scheme of things because it got in anyway. But the fact is that you might need to see the mistakes firsthand that you're making. And if a young kid gets in there and moves the ball forward, then you have a problem. What if that guy does good? You take him out. And the answer to that is no.
All right. So, explain this to me, Tony, because you know football. You've forgotten more than I know about football. The announcers kept saying that Kirby Smart or Shulman or whoever, and Kirby Smart does a great job of giving his assistants credit. I respect that tremendously. But they kept saying they have two safeties out there. There's nowhere ready to throw the ball. They're going to make you run the ball. And Alabama kept trying to run it and run it up the middle on first down a lot. What is the strategy there, and why with two safeties can you not throw the ball at all, Tony?
With two safeties means you have two safeties.
Yeah, I understand what it means. Yeah.
You can have either – you can disguise a cover two and or what you call umbrella cover, which is cover four. Now, in that case, you're playing straight zone. And zone means that you're not blitzing. You're trying to get pressure with your front four, your front three linemen. And you should be able to run the ball in that set. Normally, all the time, you can – because they're not so aggressive. I would suggest to anybody, listen, I don't care if we could be the healthiest team. Look, we weren't that unhealthy when we played against Oklahoma the first time. Yeah, Miller wasn't banged up. He might have been banged up, but he was healthy enough to play. Our tight end was healthy enough to play. So, but what happens is, Barry, if you cannot run the ball and they know you can't run the ball, then they're going to take away the big play. So they're not going to allow you to go over the top. And let's be honest, guys, he hasn't shown that he can throw a really accurate deep ball with consistency. And when he has thrown a deep ball with consistency, we drop it. And so there's that issue. So they're stopping the run, and they're going to take all these little dink and dunk passes away from us because they're sitting in the zone. And now the wide receiver's got to find a hole in the zone. And then Ty's got to realize where that wide receiver's going to go to. But it begins with a run game. And I'm going to suggest this to anybody listening. Max Howell was 100% correct about what he said on y'all show yesterday, because I have studied this since 2002. When you have a team that is built around the pass, what Coach Bryant said about the pass is 100% accurate. It's a gamble. Three things can happen bad versus one good. You can get sacked, throw a pick, throw an incompletion versus completed. If you base your offensive linemen on pass blocking and you base your offense around the pass first, you're not dedicated to the run. The run is there let's just sneak this run play in to keep teams honest. If you look at all the national title teams that's won it since really the dawn of time, they've got one thing in common. They are a balanced football team. They can run, and they pass when they want to, not when they have to.
Yeah.
And that is what Alabama's missing. We don't run the ball well because we're not committed to the run well enough, and we don't practice the run. Guys, I coached in a program that was known for running the ball. We get a Kentucky assistant under the Hal Mumme system, which was when the air raids first started coming around. And in one season, we went from playing really above average defense, probably top 10 in the state, to we couldn't stop a downhill run. It's because we saw our same offense all day, because you have to practice that. That's not, you got to be married to that offense. So when you practice that and you see those guys every day, you might know what that other team is doing. You might have their playbook, and you can't stop it because you don't have a way to emulate that in practice anymore.
Yeah.
Because now your players are built different. You no longer have a Derrick Henry in the backfield or a Mark Ingram. You have a scat back playing running back. It's complete, and your offensive lineman's first step is backwards instead of drive blocking and man blocking. That's what Alabama's going through right now. And this whole talk, he's got to recruit a little bit quicker linemen. Well, yeah, that's why. because they're going to be quicker to take on blitzing ends and blitzing linebackers on the edge. They got to lose some weight so they can drop step to get to them. If we're expecting to run the ball with any authority, it ain't going to happen, fellas. Not for a while, in my opinion. So, because that's who we are now. And I hate it. I do. Because it directly affects your defense as well.
Yeah. Great stuff, Johnny. Thank you.
All right.
There was a lesson on football and running the football. He's right. I guess what I know, but it sounded good. All right, we'll get to break here. Get to Kevin Skarbinski when we get back. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. This morning, we don't have any accidents to tell you about. We do have construction. Skyland Boulevard, both northbound and southbound at Clearview Hills Drive. Also, 2059 eastbound between Foster's and the Western Bypass.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Inside the locker room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's with the Birmingham News. Also has a podcast that he does, I guess it's weekly, and joins us every Tuesday. Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. I'm good, fellas. How are you?
We're good.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dap.
Is there anything we can put in the bylaws to be sure that we correct the championship game in each league, either do without it or just say that both teams get to go to the final 12 or final 16 because they got to the championship game? Is would that be the best way to handle championship? What's the best way to handle that?
Well, I think if you wanted to be fair, you could put it into the criteria. So the committee has some guidance on exactly what it's supposed to do. You know, we beat up on the committee, but they're given very few guidelines on what they're supposed to do. You know, they're supposed to consider head-to-head play. They're supposed to consider common opponents. They're supposed to consider if you had players hurt that will be back, or you missed players and how they how you played without them, or you had players that were available and then now you're not going in the playoffs. So there may be one more that I'm leaving out, but there's only about four criteria. So if we want the championship games to be considered in your resume, for better or worse, or only for better, you know, they could do it that way. They could say it can't hurt you, you can't move down, but you can move up. The real issue here is the weekly shows,
100%.
The weekly rankings.
Yes.
Because people, I keep seeing this phrase. I've heard it from Auburn fans going about 2017. You're hearing it from Notre Dame fans now. We were in the field until the last show. Well, no, you weren't in the field. No one is in the field until the final rankings. In a good position before that, but you were never in the field. There's only one field, and that gives people, you know, those weekly shows give people a false sense of security. It gives them an unrealistic set of expectations, and so that's the real issue here to me. It's the major issue here to me. But I read somewhere yesterday that they're locked in for 6 years. They have a contract for six more years to do the weekly shows. So it does make for great television. It makes for great discussion. the kind of thing that college football has been all about for a long, long time, when we couldn't decide who the national champion was, when it was based on opinion, on polls, sometimes before the bowls, sometimes after the bowls. It seems to me they could come up with a cleaner system, though, on how to do this.
That's the only thing I agree with the Notre Dame athletic director on. Like, they were both 10-2. So, and Miami beat them on the field. So Miami should have been ahead of them the week before. To put Notre Dame ahead of them and then change it when neither one of them played, that to me was bad. You knew that was going to happen. And so just put Miami ahead of them. They're both 10-2, head to head. Has to matter. Notre Dame had nothing impressive on the resume. If they'd have done that, I don't think anybody would have had a complaint. But I think they gave Notre Dame a reason to complain when they dropped them below them when neither one of them played, Kevin.
That's true. That's totally fair. And you're right. That is the one point on which you can sympathize with Notre Dame about. And you can also say, look, there were essentially three teams for two spots, and Alabama was the third. And so you couldn't put all three in because, you know, they accepted the format in which the top five conference champions are guaranteed a spot, and it was just a strange year in which the ACC was comically bad, and their tiebreaker system spit out a Duke-Virginia championship game. And Duke, the team that was not going to get in, regardless, won the game. So that put them in that position. So if you're Notre Dame, also, not only were you ahead of Miami the whole time, but like you said, they could have. Here's the part, too, that I don't understand. Hunter Yurecek said, he said this during one of the weekly shows, if not more than one, and he said it again Sunday, that once they jumped Miami over BYU after BYU lost the Big 12 championship game, well, then Notre Dame and Miami were right next to each other, and then they could use head-to-head. That's bogus because they look at teams in groups of four. Notre Dame and Miami were in the same group of four the week before. They could have applied the head-to-head principle there and should have. So that's frustrating. And then, obviously, Alabama did not play well, did not look good in that SEC championship game loss, but it didn't affect them. It didn't hurt them. And you can debate whether that should or shouldn't have been the case. But so if you're Notre Dame, the other two teams you're competing with, one didn't play and you were ahead of them. You didn't play. And the other team in the mix played and got beat by three touchdowns. And you're the one that got left out. Justifiably so. I think the final result was correct, but it's how they got there that's led to so much of this anger.
Kevin, I almost texted you Saturday night. I was reading your ex, and I love Nick. I love Nick Saban. I love listening to Nick Saban. I think he is a great speaker. But there is locker room talk, and then there is press conference and TV talk. And when he had Kirby Smart up there and Kalen DeBoer, And there's when you're with your boys, like there's a certain way you talk, all right. But when you're on TV, and I got my 9-year-old son sitting there watching it with me, and Nick Saban is using SHIT, and I mean he's talking to Kirby, and I get what he's doing. Don't give me this. I just think it's wrong. I don't understand why he. And then Pete Golding has a press conference, and they says he says the word 20 times in the press conference. It's fine when you're with your coaches and you're in front of your team and you're in your locker room, but where did this language become? And I'm almost like an old fogey, but I got a 9-year-old kid sitting there watching it with me. When did this language become? I was glad you took a shot at Nick Saban. I thought it was bad as well. I think he does 95% of the stuff right, but this language in these situations to me is. It's out of line, and I agreed with you. And I don't know why there was a guy arguing with you, and you guys were going back and forth.
There was more than one guy arguing with me. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because what's the old saying? There's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
And that's true. And what really got me on Saturday morning was, well, look, Nick has done this for a long time. That's who he is. I mean, let's be honest. He's from West Virginia. Nothing against people from West Virginia. And look, let me just say this also. I cuss, okay? Behind closed doors,
sure.
In my house, in my car, when I get slightly frustrated with other drivers from time to time, I will use bad words. But I just spent 3 days last week on television from 10:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, on and off, as the host of the high school football championships, and said a lot of words on television. And none of them had to be bleeped, okay? And I'm not saying I'm better than Nick Saban. I'm just saying there's a time and a place for everything. And what really got me about Saturday morning was Kirby joining in right alongside with the BS this and BS that, and everybody else giggling like schoolboys. That's just wrong. It's the wrong place for it. It takes away from your message, and it gets people talking about your language. And people, you know, some of the reaction that I got was, oh, they're just boys being boys, or they're just having fun. You must be fun at parties. You know, you can have fun without cursing. It's possible. And especially if you're a professional. Nick Saban is probably the most respected analyst in college football. He's the most respected voice in the sport, and he takes away from that with the unnecessary language. We saw him do it in Tuscaloosa for years, but it seems like it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
If you're following. And you know what? And people say, well, you don't have to watch. Well, you know what? I want to hear what Nick Saban has to say.
Yeah, I did too.
Because he often has a lot of great insight into college football on many different issues. I don't want to hear his potty mouth. And you can call me a prude, call me a school marm, call me old fashioned, whatever you want to call me. But you know what? You wouldn't want your children talking like that, or even more so, you wouldn't want your children's teacher talking like that in the classroom. Well, guess what? That's Nick Saban's classroom, and he's on national television, and he knows better, and he should act better.
Yeah. And Pete Golding the same.
It's epidemic now, and let's be honest, it's gone to a new level of offensiveness because the president of the United States talks like that, which is so far beneath the office, it's not even worth discussing.
Yeah, that.
I don't have really
can't talk about it. Kevin, I heard Alex Golish speak yesterday. I thought he was very good. I thought his message was good when he was asked about why Auburn didn't take a bowl. I understood exactly what he said when he talked about building the staff and his roster and how these players right now, they don't really know his system. They're not buying into him. So keeping them, he didn't say it this way, but money will probably be what they have to do to keep them because they don't have anything else right now. It was so refreshing to hear an Auburn coach actually make sense up there. I thought he did really good. I thought Hugh Freeze was very bad in front of the media, to be quite honest with you. I thought Alan Golish, to me, I mean, it's a press conference, but I thought he did a really good job yesterday.
He projects an air of confidence about himself and Nick that Hugh Freeze never did. Hugh Freeze seemed weak and waffling and unsure of himself on a regular basis, whether it was weekly press conferences, whether it was post-game press conferences, whether it was SEC media days. You know, Hugh Freeze never seemed in command of the program. And look, this is early, and he's got a lot to prove, but Alex Golish does project that air of confidence, that he's the guy in charge, that he's making decisions. And here's why I'm making those decisions, and it makes sense when you hear him talk. So that's a positive. That's definitely a net positive. There's a lot more that goes into being a successful head coach, and we'll see if he can navigate those waters at the SEC level. But I like the fact that his whole life started with, you know, more adversity than virtually any other coach you can think of. So he seems like he has an edge to him, a toughness to him. And let's be honest, you're not going to survive in the SEC as a football coach if you don't have an edge to you. You can't be too nice a guy. And I'm not saying that was what Hugh Freeze's issue, but you just can't. You've got to have some to use a, I don't want to use bad language, you got to have some SOB in you to be a successful head coach in the SEC in football or basketball, probably any other sport as well, baseball, et cetera, because every sport's so competitive. And I do think he has that.
Dad and I, not argued. I think we've had different opinions on this. This would be a good article for you to do at some point. You could bring out much better than me. I don't understand football coaches. In every sport, if your point guard's not playing well, you'll take him out. If your pitcher's not throwing strikes, you take him out. On down the line, your wide receivers half running routes or dropping the ball, you'll sub him. Why is it that football coaches, NFL, college, are so reluctant to change a quarterback? And I'm not saying you bench Ty. I'm just saying you put another guy in there for two series, see if he can give you a spark. But it's like this guy won the job. Hugh Freeze did it with Jackson Arnold pretty much all year, to where you won't at least put a guy out there and try. Now, I know Nick Saban did it at halftime of the national championship game, but I think it would help the kid as well to stand over there. Why are football coaches so reluctant to take the quarterback out when they're struggling?
It's one of the mysteries of the universe that people have been wondering about for a long time. And yes, Nick Saban made a bold move that helped win that national championship, but he also stayed with Tua in the 2018 championship game against Clemson when he didn't look fully healthy, and when he didn't go to Jalen, and Clemson pulled away from them and beat them pretty badly. So it is something that seems baked into football coaches that when you have a guy, he's got to be the guy, you know, through rain, sleet, snow, poor decisions, poor execution, whatever it might be. And you just got to believe that it would help the starter if he's struggling. And Ty is struggling in a way that we have not seen him struggle, but certainly the first half of the year, maybe the first two-thirds of the year. And there are a variety of reasons for that. It's not all on him. Everybody understands that. The receivers,
sure.
Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams each dropped a touchdown pass on Saturday. Now, they were tough catches in traffic, but those guys are supposed to be elite receivers. They should make those catches. The play Ty made to scramble and even get the throw off to hit Bernard in the end zone was unbelievable. And Bernard hit him in the chest. First of all, the ball shouldn't hit you in the chest. You're supposed to catch it with your hands. And the offensive line has been really struggled. So there are a lot of reasons for Ty's struggles, but he's not playing well. He's missing open receivers. And then they're also the play calling is not helping him. But who knows? You would think it would help you to sit out a series just to clear your mind, just to take a breath, just to study some more, some more tape on the laptop, whatever they have on the sideline, where they're able to look at film or play clips of plays. You know, just again, just for a break, a breather, let them reset. It can't hurt if you're not sharp. And Alabama has capable. You know, we're told they have capable backups. They believe those guys are capable of good things. Maybe they're not ready to be the starter. Maybe they're not ready to play a whole quarter in a game like that against a team like Georgia. Could one series really hurt? I guess it could. You could throw a pick six. You could get a strip sack. You know, bad things could happen if the backups aren't ready. But if the backups aren't ready, then that's on the coaches as well.
How much pressure is on the staff this Oklahoma game? Making the playoffs, that's a successful season. Or do they need to win a game here? They kind of folded down the stretch a little bit last year. I'm not saying Kalen DeBoer and his staff is in any jeopardy of losing their job. But for the next step, is this important for these guys to go out to Oklahoma and not only play well, but to win this game? Or will people be howling, talking about this wasn't a successful season?
Well, they will be howling that it wasn't a successful season if they lose that game, because Alabama fans have greater expectations based on the last 17 years under Nick Saban. But everybody has to adjust their expectations. no one's going to achieve that level and maintain that level anymore. Not anyone. Ohio State had a great season, didn't win the Big Ten championship because they got beat by Indiana. So that's one thing. But it's harder for a fan base, any fan base, to change expectations that have been built over a long period of time. But this is doubly important. A, for the reason that you stated, they have not played their best football in the last month. But B, Oklahoma's made them look bad twice since they've been in the SEC. Last year was an embarrassment, frankly, when they went to Norman, not to score a touchdown, get beat by three touchdowns. And that was the game that knocked them out of the playoff last year. Because if they beat Oklahoma last season, they're 10-2, they're in the field. Now this year, Oklahoma almost knocked them out, put them on the brink, and while Alabama didn't play poorly and outgained Oklahoma by almost 2-1 in that game in Tuscaloosa, they committed three turnovers. And good on Oklahoma for creating the turnovers and making the most out of them to win the game. So you've got to put a stop to this. Just like Kirby with his long the long monkey on his back against Alabama, this is starting to become, it's very early, it's just a chimpanzee at this point. It's a small monkey, but it's a monkey on Alabama's back against Brent Venables. And he has been a thorn in Alabama's side going back to his days as the Clemson defensive coordinator. So you need to put a stop to that. You don't need that to grow any larger. And this is a great opportunity because Alabama will be as healthy as it's been in a long time in this game. That's what they're telling us. That's what they told everyone they could think of on Saturday night when they put out this long list of talking points of why they should be in the playoff. And one of the key ones was Kevin Riley will be back, Jam Miller will be back, Josh Cuevas will be back, offensive linemen that have been banged up will be healthier. And it was a long list of players that have been either playing hurt or have been out that they expect to be back or back at close to full strength for that game. So there will be no excuses, and this is one you got to get.
Yeah. Lastly, I think, I don't know how you get this in there, but if a team is eligible for a bowl and ESPN's paid a pile of money for college football, if you're eligible for the bowl and you opt out, I think it ought to disqualify you next year for a bowl or even the college football playoff. And you also should not get your revenue share for that month. If a player opts out, he shouldn't get it. The team opts out, none of them get it. And I think if you weren't eligible for the bowls next year, I think that would stop it, Kevin. Now, I understand Alex Golis. They weren't eligible for a bowl. They were just had extra spots and they were trying to give it. But the teams that the Notre Dames and the Iowa States and the whoever else, Iowa's, I think if you put that penalty on, they wouldn't do that. Your thoughts, can you do that?
I doubt that they could enforce that. I doubt that they would get everyone or a majority to agree to that. But I think it's an idea worth considering, certainly. You know, you sign up to play the season. And whether you think bowls have become as insignificant as ever, and they have, let's be honest, it's all about the playoff, just as Nick Saban predicted some time ago it was going to be the case. That was going to draw all the oxygen out of the room, talking about the playoff, focusing on the playoff. But they still have bowl games. And I think you should be under some sort of obligation to play in them if you have a winning record. I don't agree with, well, we don't have enough teams to fill the bowls, so we got to see which 5-7 teams have a good enough APR to give them an opportunity. And a bunch of 5-7 teams opted out. And I totally understand. And I think there should be some asterisks in there or some conditions like a coaching change,
sure,
that allow you to opt out, as you said. And I agree with you. I think that was the right decision for Auburn. That would not have helped them to play in a bowl game. They've got more important, more pressing issues going forward with that coaching change. He doesn't even have a full staff together yet. So that makes sense. Notre Dame doing it doesn't make sense. We know it's a fit of anger because they got left out of the playoff. But how much fun would it have been to watch Notre Dame and BYU? Another team that thinks it should be in the playoff that lost only two games to the same team. The difference is, when BYU's argument doesn't have legs because they lost badly to Texas Tech twice compared to Alabama, which actually beat Georgia in the regular season So BYU has no real leg to stand on because they don't have any other really major quality wins to fall back on. So, but I'm with you. I think they ought to. Otherwise, what is the point of the bowl season? And look at, to me, this is a culture thing too. Look at Georgia 2 years ago. Georgia won the 21 national championship. They won the 22 national championship. They were undefeated in 23 going for a three-peat, and they lost to Alabama in a thriller in the SEC championship game. And that one loss, because it was still a four-team playoff, knocked them out of the four-team field. Now, you think they weren't angry? You think they weren't frustrated? You think they weren't disappointed? But what did they do? They went to a bowl. They played Florida State. It was a shell of the Florida State team that went undefeated that year itself and didn't get in the playoff because it lost its quarterback. And they kicked their butts. They showed football mattered to them. And this is why Kirby, for a variety of reasons, is the best coach in college football.
Yeah.
The way his team was ready to go in that SEC championship game. He understands the mind game like Nick Saban. He learned at the right hand of Nick Saban for a long time. And so they wanted to play football. They wanted to play one more football game. They didn't want their season to end with that SEC championship game loss to Alabama. And so they did what you should do as a football team. They went and played a football game, and they played it well, and they won by a massive margin. So that's really what's disappointing about Notre Dame is the way they're reacting to their loss.
Yeah, I would like to have seen Vanderbilt Notre Dame. I think that would have been a really good game. People would have really wanted to watch Diego Pavia go up against Notre Dame, but we won't see it. So, all right, Kevin, tell everybody where they can find you and get all your great stuff.
Yeah, the best thing to do, follow me on Twitter/X. Holy cow, I felt like I was in the middle of a Twitter war on Saturday night and all day Sunday. Follow me at Kevin Skarbinski there. Keep up with my columns every week in the Birmingham News. You can find those on AL.com. And also my podcast, Kevin Skarbinski-Scarbo Knows on YouTube. I try to do two a week, unless circumstances like last week prevent when I'm at the high school championships. Have a new one that dropped yesterday. Hope people will check it out.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
All right. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. They made this 7 o'clock hour possible. We get back. Phone lines are open the entire hour. So dial us up, 205-342-9904.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
The Heisman Trophy finalists were announced on Monday. The four contestants looking to see who takes home the trophy on Saturday: Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza, Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, and Ohio State quarterback Julian Sayin. Eagles fell to 8-5 on a loss on Monday Night Football, 22-19 in overtime. Chargers improved to 9-4. Four interceptions thrown by Jalen Hurts in this game. The final one coming to defender Tony Jefferson to seal the game away. Cameron Dicker with a 54-yard field goal in this game. Omarion Hampton back from the IR with a touchdown for the Chargers. Tuesday, we'll see a retired legend try to mount a comeback as the Colts host Philip Rivers for a tryout. Rivers, 44 years old, hasn't played in 5 years, and looking to shore up a devastated Colts quarterback room.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We have a lot of construction this morning. We have some long-term construction, Skyland Boulevard at 359. Also, construction 2059 eastbound between Foster's and the West.
In another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with the low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday. Partly sunny both days. The high Thursday 53, the high Friday 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 28 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wimp Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Second hour of Inside the Locker Room. I want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. Look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You can schedule a service right there at the website. Also, try it before you buy it. You can rent a Toyota, order a part, whatever you need. We talked to Justin. We'll talk to him tomorrow. If you're looking to get a special somebody, a vehicle for Christmas, then swing by there. They can find probably exactly what you want. If they don't have it right there in the lot, hold it for you till Christmas. So I think it's a great, great Christmas idea. Obviously, that's a big present. But swing by Skyland Boulevard or go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. All right, let's get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline and get Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Morning.
Tom, you there? All right, Tom, call us back. Is Tom turned up? All right, we'll let that go. Tom, call back. All right, back to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Philip?
Hey, Philip, my friends. How y'all doing today?
We're good. How are you, buddy?
Fine. I'm going to call back tomorrow and talk about the Arizona game a little bit. I haven't done my homework on that yet. And, you know, when I call, I like to do a little homework. But I would like to talk to Coach Sanderson about a team from Birmingham back in the 70s. It was kind of an interesting team to follow, and that was when I was in high school. Coach, what all can you tell us about Holy Family High School in Birmingham and what's happened to them and a little bit about their high school basketball history? They were a fun team to follow.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to recruit one of their players, Philip, and I can't think of who it was.
I know we signed Maurice Myers. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't really turn out very well for us, but I can't remember. I'm sorry. I can't remember in the 70s if I got to, but did I sign? I signed Maurice Myers. What year was that? That was the 70s.
That had to have been something like 78.
Okay.
I would say 78.
There's another a really good player from Holy Family that I lost. But I can't remember who it was, so I'm not doing a very good job of trying to help you. I don't know.
No, that's okay. I'm late calling today, and it sounds like you're not feeling very well, so I don't want to make you talk anymore. I know you're struggling a little bit. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll think about it.
Yeah, I'll get a little bit better for me. Yeah, that'd be great. But I will talk about Arizona a little bit, Barry.
Okay.
That Arizona game is that's going to be a tall order.
Yeah. Late game in Birmingham. I might try to go to that game. 8:30. Saturday night. Should be a great crowd, though. I think it'll be a great environment, I hope, there in Birmingham with Arizona just thumped Auburn. Oh. And, of course, that's going to happen in Tucson. But should be a fun weekend up in Birmingham. I like being a night game up there. People go up there and kind of hang around and go eat and go to the game. Should be a fun night for Alabama basketball.
I think so, too. I just hope that Alabama can I'm not trying to be cute. I hope we can keep it close. It's going to be a really tall order, as we know, and they've got an outstanding team. I sort of looked at their roster a little bit today, and it looks like they do have the dreaded three-headed monster of the foreign player. It looks like they've got quite a few foreign players on that team, which that means these guys have probably played some pro basketball and now at Arizona enjoying the high life. But one thing I asked Gary Harris yesterday, guys, and again, I'm not trying to be this cockeyed fan, but I watched the game the other day, and there's an issue on our roster that I'm sure the coaches are thinking about right now. And I talked to Gary about this yesterday, but this Jacob Martin kid, this inside player, has some energy. He has some energy. He has some athletic ability. And I know he's a walk-on, but I think he might can give the Tide a little bit more than what they're getting right now with Noah.
Well, I mean, you also had, remember now, you got four guys sitting out over there. So when those guys get back, there's not going to be minutes for either one of those guys. They just, really even Noah, to be honest. I mean, you got Bristow and obviously the guards sitting out over there, and they got to get healthy. I don't think there's anything major injury-wise, but there's not going to be enough room to play even Noah or that kid when you get down to it. I think the one freshman kid's got a heart murmur or heart issue, irregular heartbeat or something, so he may not be. But I don't think he's going to be ready when it comes to SEC time. He's behind these other freshmen they got, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's so far behind now that this is probably a scratch-off year for him. Now, Bristow is the one that we desperately need back. He's a good basketball player. He's fast. I thought he was the night that he came back, from his injury, I thought he was the fastest player on the team.
It'll be interesting, too. Arizona, Jaden Bradley, who was at Alabama, had the the problem there on the strip, I think he was out there. I'm not saying he was involved at all. I think he's not really a great three-point shooter, but I think that made him just get away. And he's gone out to Arizona and carved out a good little career out there. So I'm sure he'll be excited to play against Alabama.
He has. He scored 16 against Auburn, played a good game. But you're right, he's not a three-point threat, but he's their quarterback. He's their quarterback and does a good job. But it's going to be a tall order. I hope that Alabama can play a good fundamental game and it doesn't get out of hand.
Yeah, should be fun up there. I think it should be a great environment. I may try to go. I got to try to wrestle up some tickets. So anybody's listening.
I bet you got a lot of pull up there. You probably get some.
I'm a brat, though. I don't want to go up there and sit in the upper deck in the corner. So if I can't get there.
Maybe you'll have some luck. I hope you can. I hope you take Miss Jenny.
Thank you, Philip.
See y'all.
All right. We'll take the break here. Keep the phone lines open, 205-342-9904. Off and running, 205-342-9904. Give us dollars up. Send us an app message, Tide 100.9, or email wimpandberry@yahoo.com.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We have road work. One lane is open. US 82 both eastbound and westbound between Sam Sutton Road and Boswell Road. Also, more construction, Skyland Boulevard.
Where else can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu. Available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
As one grand prize. Prize winner scores $2,600 in cash. Join the celebration and toast to new beginnings and big wins at Pearl River Resort. Must be 21 or older to play.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit online at championslane.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are thoughts from Alabama football head coach Kalen DeBoer on Alabama being selected for the college football playoff.
Important day for our program, getting a chance to have a berth in the CFP, the playoffs here, just something our guys have been working for, you know, going back really being in January, so 11 months. And, the work paying off and everything we did this season leading to this opportunity. Obviously, a team that we know well with Oklahoma, one that, one that came here and obviously was a battle, was a physical game and, came out on the wrong side. But looking forward to, third meeting in less than 2 years, really probably 12 or 13 months. And so each team knows what to expect, know each other well, and know it'll be a hard-fought game.
I'll have more in a moment.
Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane, opening 4 hours before each home game. This fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide.
Join us Thursday for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with a low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days. The high Thursday, 53. The high Friday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 31 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The odds are out to win the college football playoff. So let's go through these, Dad. Maybe you tell the listener, brought to you by Brian Harden Construction, a blue plate that might be good odds. So if you pick Ohio State right now, Chase and Dad, to win the national championship, they are plus 240 for people to understand what that means. If you bet $100 and Ohio State wins the national championship, you'd get $240. Indiana, $200 plus $250. Oregon, Dad, is plus $750. So bet $100, wins $750. Here's a pretty good one, I think. Texas Tech, lay $100, win $800. Would you give Texas Tech any shot of winning the national championship, Dad?
Yeah, I've got to get that. But thing back in front of me, I can't have it. Got to find the, who plays who. I lost it. Sorry. I think Texas Tech is awfully good. They're good defensively, and they're smart. The president out there and the athletic director made up their mind they were gonna get all the money they could get from their boosters to stay in college football, and they've done so. I would say I need to look at their
yeah, I'll give you that here in just a second. So Texas A&M, you want to lay the Aggies, Chase?
No.
Plus 1,800. You bet $100. You win 1,800 if the Aggies. Ole Miss. You want to lay? You want to take the Ole Miss? They're going to beat Tulane, so they'll be in the three. It's pretty good odds here. You bet $100. You win $2,500 for betting on Ole Miss. Alabama, what's Alabama? Alabama's also plus 2,500, so the odds makers are giving Alabama virtually no chance. Miami plus 2,600. Oklahoma plus 5,500. Bet 100, win 5,500. And James Madison plus 50,000. Bet 100, you win 50,000 if they win. And Tulane is plus 60,000. Bet 100, win 60,000. So we got some teams there that obviously have, according to the odds makers, have no chance. All right, the bracket, I'm trying to pull the bracket up here. In the first round, you got James Madison, Oregon. So then that would put Oregon against Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. So that game would be obviously in Miami. Alabama, Oklahoma, of course. The winner of that, man, it's tough for the Alabama fan. Rose Bowl. You play Indiana in the Rose Bowl. Tulane Ole Miss, the winner of that goes to the Sugar Bowl and plays Georgia and Miami, and Texas A&M play. The winner of that gets Ohio State, and that is in the Cotton Bowl right there. So, I don't know. Texas Tech is in the Orange Bowl, and they would have to play the winner of Oregon and James Madison. So, you'd have Texas Tech, Oregon. You think Texas Tech would handle Oregon?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think they're enough off the wall. Indiana beat them. I think they're good.
All right. And the Alabama-Oklahoma winner takes on Indiana. Are you favoring Indiana against Alabama or Oklahoma, or you think one of those teams could knock Indiana off?
I think Indiana wins. I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with Alabama going to Oklahoma myself.
Yeah. Then those
No,
I'm not comfortable how Alabama's playing, period. Those two winners, the Indiana, Alabama, Oklahoma, or Texas Tech, Oregon, the winner of Oregon, James Madison, they move on and they would play in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. So that would be nice. Alabama would go from from the West Coast. They'd go from, across two time zones? Go all the way from Pasadena to Atlanta to play in the semifinal. The other semifinal game, which will be either Georgia, Ohio State, could be there playing in the Fiesta Bowl. So, man, you send Georgia all the way out to the Fiesta Bowl if they can knock off Ole Miss. Then the national championship game is down in Miami. I guess that's the Dolphin Stadium down there at Miami Gardens. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline, get Cole in. Good morning, Cole.
Hey, I got a question. All right, it's not a big deal, but is Tulane, is Summerall, is he coaching against, is he going to yes. coach, or is he already at Florida?
No, he's coaching.
He's coaching, okay, that's cool. All right, that's all I wanted to know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
That would be a good game, man, with Kiffin not there and who knows? I think Ole Miss wins, but I don't think they cover, though. So I am taking the points with Tulane, but I do think Ole Miss holds on, though.
Yeah, you know, they played.
I think it'll be closer the second time for sure.
Yeah, the line in that game is 17.5. I know they played.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It went. I thought it was 16.5. Okay.
Well, that ain't that big of a difference. But they did play during the year. Let's see what the final.
Yeah, they did. It was a blowout.
45-10. Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think Tulane got better as the season went on for sure.
Yeah. But Tulane's named the assistant, but Summerall will coach the game. And the sign-in date, it was only a 3-day period, so it's over.
Uh-huh.
Portal's not open, so I think they're allowing these coaches time now to get there and kind of see it through with these teams. So I think that's the right thing to do.
Tulane keeps it close, but I still think Ole Miss wins. So that's where I see it.
Yeah, could be. Should be.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. You picking Ohio? Who are you picking to win it all?
Me?
Yeah.
It's all right. I'd probably go back to Ohio State.
Chase, who you got winning it all? You going to go? Well, it wouldn't be chalk because Indiana's the one seed. Ohio State's the two. I'm not as crazy about Ohio State as everybody else. I think Saban's okay. He got an invite to New York, but is he as good as people are ranting and raving about? I thought Indiana kind of shut them down. Chase, who do you think's going to win it all?
The way Indiana's been playing and how they responded from last year and what they're doing this year and kind of keeping Ohio State at bay, I think Indiana has a real good chance, especially with their pathway. They have something real going on.
Yeah. Then how hard is for a team like Indiana? They're not used to being at this level on this stage. Is that difficult there, or are they built for this?
Well, they've done a good job with them mentally and physically. They've done a great job of that program. I don't give a crap what you think. Ego or no ego. He has the right to be having an ego. Coach, they've done great. I don't know if they can win back-to-back against Ohio State.
I almost think when you're at Indiana, who has no real football tradition, you almost have to have an ego. The ego is probably good.
Sure it is.
For that he does. I've got Mac running around now saying how's Google me. All I do is win. Google me is what he said when they asked him about himself last year. So he's a character for sure. I bet you he's probably hard to deal with. You think he's hard to deal with, Cignetti?
I thought he did a really good job after the win.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought he did a good job in talking about everything he needed to talk about. And I didn't, if I had not just decided that he had a big ego, I would not have known him from those interviews.
Yeah.
I thought he was very good. And undoubtedly, he's got those guys to play. He's got the right people. He's, you know, all we wanted to do last year is criticize the schedule. It's all we heard. This year, I don't know what the odds were, but 9 out of 10 would say Indiana's going to beat Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State's going to beat Indiana. 9 out of 10 people. They turn around and win that game as well. We have a real tendency as a listening audience not to give Indiana any credit. We can't buy into it. And don't you feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody buys into Indiana being the number one team in the country. Along the way, you may not like him, but to be in a basketball area and be able to do what he's done is quite unbelievable. Really.
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, and another thing that's kind of remarkable to me is he took a lot of James Madison's players with him. And then for James Madison to turn around and be this good again this fast when most of those players or the majority of the good ones went from James Madison to Indiana, he won with those. I don't know where he got most of this roster from. But then James Madison turns around and they're really good again. Their coach is going to UCLA. I think he took a bad job.
Is James Madison a situation where you can get anybody in school?
I don't think it's that kind of school. I mean, you can get anybody in school at any of these schools now. These guys are transferred around, and I've never heard of one guy not getting in school anymore at anywhere. So I think they get in school everywhere now. I don't think there are any more rules, academic rules. I hadn't heard anybody ever being ineligible anymore. So I think those days are gone. All right, let's tell them about Bryant Bank, and then we'll take a break, get back, get this vinegar tip locked in for this Tuesday, Chase.
Well, I'm sorry about my voice, but Bryant Bank's an outstanding bank. That will know you the first and second time you go in there. The bank I think about when I think about the state of Alabama.
personal and business accounts can be had very easily, and they'll keep up with your accounts, be darn sure your money stays where it should be. The other factor is that you can bank on a line around the clock, which is helpful, and there'll be a bank and a banker and banker people in there who'll be happy to help you with loans, money that you need to deal with for houses, and I've got plenty of that. So go by Brian Bank. Tell them you heard on Inside the Locker Room. I think you'll be well pleased.
All right. Phone lines will be open 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We have road work. One lane is open. US 82, both eastbound and westbound between Sam Sutton Road and Boswell Road. Also, more construction. Skyland Boulevard at 3.
Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at Wyatt.Fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance
and assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
From where your Christmas shopping begins and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to hear. Oh, I feel nice.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. I got people text me saying you need to gargle with some apple cider vinegar to get that throat, that voice cleaned up. So maybe you need to take some of that vinegar and give yourself a tip and use it. But this vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, my main man, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Michael's like you, Chase. Well, I don't know if you are, but you went there. He's a Mississippi State Bulldog, so he pulls for the Bulldog. So he never – his trophy case is completely empty, except for baseball. I think they did win a baseball championship. So, yeah, neither one of you guys got any trophies, Chase. Well, what is the vinegar tip for this?
Well, on the next few days during December, I'm going to try to give as much about food as I can because because food is big on everybody's mind, whether you're eating Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's. When you talk about the meat that you eat, you need to consider that vinegar wash for any meat is is really a helpful thing to kill bacteria. Poultry as well. So wash whatever you're fixing to feed your family with a lot of vinegar. You can rub vinegar on the cut end of an uncooked ham to prevent mold. If you feel like it has a chance to be moldy, I eat food that my people around me say I shouldn't eat because it's been in the refrigerator too long, but I do. I rub it with vinegar and eat it. So, vinegar washes on meats is important because you'll have a lot of meat, and it's be sure that even a ham that's uncooked, that you have not cooked to prevent mold, rub vinegar on it. So I'll have a bunch of tips about meats and all kind of stuff. Try to, as best I can find some throughout December.
All right, that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. He's a Mississippi State Bulldog chase. He pulls hard for the Bulldogs. Bulldogs, they have a good year. Jeff Lebby, they had them close. They were competitive, weren't they, Chase?
They were competitive.
They hired the guy they fired as a head coach to come back as their defense coordinator. These money these coordinators making now. Browse is going to South Carolina. Why would he do that? That guy's got one foot on banana peel in South Carolina. Why?
Well, he's at TCU, and things are not going as well as they should. And coach need to make a change. He let former coach Alabama go, and after he was the one that hired him, and Art Briles is, I think, it's this boy's dad, isn't he?
So he's
has a great record of offensive football, so that's what's happened there. Yeah, I think any time that you're on the borderline, Barry, as a coach, you know, they like it. Some like you, some don't. And I think South Carolina is a borderline deal right now. You got to try to hire somebody you think can get you going offensively or defensively or something.
Yeah, I hate those guys, too. They get like 2 or 3 year deals, so he goes over there and something happens to Beamer, then he's got a contract where he gets paid. He's a young kid.
Yeah.
So,
I think you're right.
So these guys, DJ Durkin's going, staying with Auburn. Is that hard to go from being the head coach for, I don't know, whatever that was, four or five games to back to being assistant? They're going to pay him well. So those coordinators.
Well, the new head coach came in and said the right thing. He said there's not anyone any better than DJ. And so what happens in that interview is your athletic director, John, says to him in the process of trying to hire him, it's our plans to keep DJ on the staff. We need to announce that after you're announced. What kind of problems do you have with it? And obviously he didn't have any. So they'd be darn sure that there were a lot of Auburn people who thought DJ ought to have it. There were a lot of Auburn people who thought he shouldn't have it. So you have that all the time. So they wanted to be darn sure that everything was together. You've talked about how things were kind of sideways at Auburn with the coaches. Three people trying to call the offense ain't gonna work. So that's what happened. So anyway, they made darn sure that both sides of the football were covered. They hired this guy because, number one, he'll keep DJ, and number two, they needed an offensive mind, and they needed somebody who they felt was a good recruiter. And the two pluses for him were the ability to recruit and the ability to make the team better offensively or good offensively. And he fit that mold.
Jackson Arnold's going to the portal, the transfer portal. no shocker there. All right, we'll take the break here. We got Tim from Gulf Shore. We haven't heard from Tim in a while. We'll get to Tim when we get back from break. You need precision, power, performance. Brian Hard Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication and welding and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337 or go to bhardenconst.com. They are part of the Blue Plate Special, which is going to 500. So maybe we'll have a good bowl season and get that blue plate up in the money, Chase. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we don't have any accidents this morning and no major slowdowns. A lot of construction, long-term road construction, Skyland Boulevard, both northbound and southbound at Clear.
Can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu. Available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today, the high 51. Tonight, mostly clear with a low at 34. Tomorrow, another mostly sunny day, the high 58. And for Thursday and Friday, partly sunny both days. The high Thursday, 53. The high Friday, 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 31 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Chase, I like the holiday music. Get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Bring Tim in. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was calling in. Philip is such a good caller. He asked some questions that I happen to know something about, so I'm kind of calling in to hope he's still listening. He'll know this, but he was asking about Holy Family. And the guy that he was trying to remember, your dad was trying to remember, was Earl Banks. Earl went to Auburn.
Yeah.
Myers went to Alabama. Now, they had another kid that signed a college scholarship the next year who started on that team with Banks and Myers, named McReynolds.
And he went to Southwest Louisiana.
Louisiana. So they were loaded. Here's what they were, a 1A school, Barry, but they were a parochial school.
Yeah, I remember.
And they recruited. They brought those guys in from everywhere. So, but I just hadn't, I wanted, and I was wondering, next time you get a chance, I hope Phil sometime, I'd like to know where he went to high school, because he kind of knows a lot about the Birmingham area. I just wonder if he went to one of the metro schools in Birmingham. But, Barry, one question I wanted to ask you about football.
Okay.
And I know you talk about the running backs a lot. If you were a football coach, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer. If you were a football coach, would you rather have a great running back with a mediocre offensive line or a great offensive line with a mediocre running back? I'm going to head for the golf course. See you guys later.
Well, I obviously would rather have a great line with a – because if you have a great running back and a mediocre line, he ain't going to be a great running back. So those guys up front obviously are very, very important. I think that's Dad's point a lot. And do you think teams that I guess run the West Coast offense, if that's what you want to call it, where they're passing teams, can they be good running teams? You know, they teach those guys how to pass block. It's not there's a big difference between run blocking and pass blocking. Is that one of Alabama's problems, that in developing linemen and in developing the running game, their scheme?
It may be, yeah. It possibly could be. I think it's just I just think in the overall, in the overall discussion of trying to decide who's a good quarterback and who's not lies with the ability of the quarterback to get away from the pressure. But the abilities of the offensive line to keep the pressure from being there so much. And I think, as one of our callers said, you get mentally, you're worried about what happened in the last play when you got busted. And you're not as effective when you get up there. I tried to disagree with you, just to disagree with you somewhat, but I don't see any reason for why you can't. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm on Greg McElroy and Cole Cuban's show on Thursday. I'm going to get Greg McElroy, and we'll call Greg McElroy and get him. Ask him that question and try to get him to taste pretty good, and try to get him to talk about that, and then relay it somewhere or another to our show. But that's what I'd like to do, because I think he would give us a decent answer. And you know, I don't know if there's a real answer. I wouldn't argue with you that at times you need substitute quarterback. I understand that. At times you need to substitute.
Yeah, I guess it would probably help him as well.
I think it's a mental thing, son. I think if they feel like mentally they're going to lose the team real quick.
I give you walk over there. He's a mature kid. Say, Ty, you're struggling a little bit. Hey, I'm gonna pull you here for a couple series. Stand over here with Coach Sheridan. Let's watch this thing when you go back in there. I think it's all about how you do it. You know, and if the guy goes in there and plays really, really good, you tell, hey, Ty, we're going to maybe do three series. And so not just Ty, any quarterback. It's like the Cleveland Browns. Like, they were so adamant they were not going to play Shador Sanders. And Shador Sanders is not a bad quarterback. They just dug in, and then they ended up having to play him, and now we're looking at him, and he's much better than what they were playing. So these people dig in about these quarterbacks. They get these mindsets about quarterbacks, and that's why they miss so much on these guys. And that's why I think Hugh Freeze is not coaching anymore. Because he didn't know how to handle
it. The same with him, son, is he misevaluated completely.
And then he was hard-headed about changing.
And then when he got the guy there practicing with him, he still misevaluated. You know, I tried to get Jack Crow on our show today and couldn't. But, you know, Jack came on there talking about what a good quarterback they had and didn't realize it. And then I thought it was a good interview we had with him. But I'm trying to get him back on. But
all right, we'll go drink you some hot vinegar.
Yeah.
My man, Happy Chase, appreciate you, my man. The Gary Harris Show is next. We'll talk a little hoops later on in the week. The number one team in the country, Arizona, comes into Birmingham. Jaden Bradley is actually second leading scorer on the team there. But they got a lot of size. It should be a great environment up there in Birmingham, and I got to figure out, Chase, how to get two good tickets. So I'm going to start working on that today. Jack's actually wanting tickets, too. Jack's always wants some tickets. All right. Keep it locked in. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. Is he home of Alabama sports?